Welcome to the Gastric Health Show, where we help you achieve the happiest and healthiest version of yourself by motivating you to eat, move, sleep, and think better. Welcome to the Gastric Health Show. My name is Dawn Boxall, and I am excited today to share with you a colleague, Dina Norton, and we are going to be discussing the sabotaging effects of stress. She has her own private practice in functional nutrition, and she will share a wealth of knowledge on how stress impacts your ability to maintain your health. So listen in and enjoy. Dina, thank you so much for being on the Gastric Health Show. First off, I'd love for you to kind of just share a little bit about your background and how you ended up in functional nutrition.
Yeah, well, I went through the very traditional educational route, as I think you did too. So I got my bachelor's and my master's in nutrition and worked in an outpatient clinic at MD Anderson here in Houston. So definitely square in the middle of the traditional medical community.
Yeah.
I was always interested in more natural things. I was kind of like that girl on staff who was into herbs and, you know, all of that, but still very much within the four walls of traditional medicine.
Right.
And then when I went through some health challenges of my own, I, you know, went to where I knew to go. I read all the peer-reviewed literature I could think to read. I went to doctors and specialists, and I was having an HPA axis dysfunction, big health crash. It was, it had, you know, I built this house of cards over years not knowing it, with my diet and some other things. And it was starting to flare symptoms in my hormones, headaches, fatigue, just hair falling out, all kinds of crazy stuff. And I was really worried. And so I, you know, couldn't get answers from anyone. They did run all their tests. They were very nice. I mean, I have nothing against them. But no one could tell me why it was happening. You know, the word menopause was thrown out as not. I'm like, I'm 34. Like this.
This is not
something's going on. Yeah. You know, the cardiologist ran all his tests. He's like, I can give you a beta blocker. No, I want to know why I have heart palpitations at 34 as a healthy person.
Right.
So, so that really pushed me to look outside the bounds of what I had known. And I went and saw a holistic practitioner, and they were like, didn't phase them at all. They were like, this is what's going on in your body, and this is why, and we need to do these things. Everything I did worked. Step by step.
Yep.
Everything worked. I got better and better and better. I felt dramatically better in just a few months. And, you know, it took me a year and a half or two to feel like myself again. I mean, I was an older version of myself at that point, but, you know, I did get past it. And it opened my eyes to this approach of, like, understanding physiologically why, which is what I wanted all along. And I, you know, through that course realized there's actually a lot of legitimate peer-reviewed literature, just doesn't all happen to be, you know, placebo-controlled, randomized clinical trials, what we're trained in nutrition and medicine to demand as evidence. If we want to try anything, it better have all those studies. Yes. So there's a lot of preliminary data, small human studies, some randomized controlled trials for a lot of this stuff. There's legitimate science behind a lot of it. It's just not far enough along to have made it into accepted conventional medicine, which I can't remember now, but I've read a study before where they looked at how long it takes a drug from the time, or a drug or a theory, like a principle, basically, either a treatment or a principle and accepted knowledge in medicine, how long it takes it from being proven to being, like, implemented. And it was, like,
years.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
So I want to be cutting edge. Like, I want to know, I want to be scientifically sound, but I want to be on the edge of what's new and what's proven.
Yeah.
But I don't want to wait 15 years to give people help. I don't want to wait for whoever to stamp it with their approval stamp. So I really started incorporating a lot of this, obviously, into my own life. But then at that point, I didn't have a practice. I was, you know, at home with a family, and I had a little, you know, a website, and it was a food blog, and I was happy. But I started, you know, passionately telling everyone I knew about right. this stuff because it worked. And so right. At that point, my entrepreneurial husband was like, hey, let's actually charge people.
Yeah.
Make this a business. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah. That sounds good. Whatever.
So I, you know, created a practice. Yeah. So that's what I've been doing for the last several years and, you know, learning every day. I'm in a functional medicine certification program
awesome.
Now, but, you know, just reading and learning and seeing yeah. clients has taught me so much
yeah.
over the past several years. So
yeah.
love what I do, love helping people. And it's so funny to take people who just haven't been helped in this
right.
way and go and fill in those yeah. knowledge gaps to help them understand their body, but give yeah. them solutions, tools in their hands that really, really work.
Right.
It's exciting.
So let's talk about stress, the overall stress. Everyone has really struggled with this over the last year. And that was kind of my focus for this podcast, was to just give some hope, give some ideas, and give some understanding of how stress even plays a role in your overall health. But even with, you know, weight loss surgery, patients are super focused on how things impact their weight. They have made this huge commitment to alter their anatomy for success with weight loss, because many things have failed over the years and years. So they are focused on how is this going to change the scale? How is this going to change my inches, my size? Although not always your best indicator, the scale is not always a good indicator, but it is information. So in your experience, Dina, what would you say is kind of the things that, how stress impacts our life, and maybe explain how people have this understanding of like adrenal fatigue and HPA axis dysfunction, and how that really kind of plays out in our health.
Yeah, gosh, it's a big topic. But I agree. I think this year of all years, we need to address the elephant in the room.
Yeah.
Kind of take an inventory and know what we're up against, because it is affecting our health. That's the truth. It's affecting it today, and it's affecting our long-term health as well. So I think to kind of go back to basics, the HPA axis is representing three different glands that work in concert all together. The H is the hypothalamus, this is in the brain. The P is the pituitary, this is in the brain. And then they signal down to the adrenals, which are two little tiny glands that sit on top of either kidney. So all three of these are considered the kind of like grand central station for stress processing and stress response. So a lot of times we hear about the adrenals. They're the ones who put out cortisol, which is our major stress hormone. So that gets a lot of play in the media, but really it starts in the brain. So the processing, the kind of inventory aspect of scanning the horizon, seeing what are all the stressors today? How big are they? Which one deserves attention? The brain decides all of that, and specifically the hypothalamus and pituitary kind of in concert. They're processing stress, they're disseminating information, and they're signaling down to the adrenals, hey guys, we need this much cortisol. But at the same time, they are also responsible for signaling the thyroid, we need this much thyroid hormone, the ovaries or testes, we need this much reproductive hormone. They're busy. They are
yeah.
busy.
Very.
So they are constantly surveilling and trying to help the body decide, is there a major stressor or a minor stressor that deserves attention? And then really when we look at the body's response to stress versus everything else it does for us, managing our brains, you know, thinking clearly today, and all these other things, stress gets priority because we want to stay alive. So really sometimes we feel so stressed and we hate that we have all this adrenaline surging, and then we have brain fog, and we have weight around our midsection we can't get rid of, and we hate all these outcomes. But I think it's good to remember that the body is always for us. It is
yeah.
always understanding what's going on and prioritizing the things that keep you going, the things that keep
right.
you living.
Right.
So sometimes we view it as an inconvenience or a frustration, but we should really take it as a signal that the brain is perceiving stress from somewhere.
Yeah.
And if it gets too much, then it's mm-hmm. going to have to spend its resources doing that instead of helping you lose weight, instead of helping break through the brain fog, instead of so many other things
right.
we want to happen and should happen if we're healthy. So that's kind of the HPA axis. And
okay.
then we talk about dysfunction in that axis that can happen for untold reasons. But really far and away, the biggest category that pushes on this system and causes all kinds of damage in the body is stress, chronic stress. So acute stress, same axis is involved, but the body's super resilient with acute stress. That's what it was designed to respond to. You know, a bear chasing you, traffic, that sort of thing. Bigger, better, faster. There's this constant pressure to do more. And then we have all kinds of little stressors, like, you know, even something like phone notification. You're constantly being called on to respond to things. And so the body is really under this chronic state of stress all the time. And so sometimes we have to really get down to evaluating even things that we don't think are making us feel stressed, but are adding to that kind of total stress bucket that the body's handling. And so it is, the more of that stuff it gets, the less and less it's going to prioritize getting you in those jeans. And, you know, all this stuff that has nothing to do with survival gets put on the back burner, no matter how little you like it.
Right.
So it does affect our health, but it's a protective mechanism. So we know that stress is related to just about every chronic disease we're dealing with today. Definitely the biggies, all the big stuff, heart disease, cancer, everything.
Yeah.
Definitely stress makes it worse. And we have this environment where we are just soaked in stress. So in order to be a person who has some degree of health and really is thriving and feeling great, it takes a good degree of putting your foot down and swimming upstream in today's culture. You have to have more boundaries. You have to say no more than you say yes. You have to do a lot of these things that are very countercultural.
Yeah.
But if you are struggling with, I just can't lose the spare tire.
Yeah.
I just can't beat the insomnia. I just feel like a dish rag. No matter how much sleep I get, no matter what I do, I take all the lavender, I do all the things.
Yeah.
It's not clicking for me. Something's missing. Stress is probably one of the first places. And a lot of us are very familiar with what makes us feel stressed. Like, you know, the terms, I feel stressed out. I'm overwhelmed. These are all things we're very familiar with. And there are obvious triggers to that and contributors to that. But what I find is that a lot of people overlook some forms of stress. So I like to remind people that there are kind of two buckets of stress. There are the mental emotional stressors, which is what most of us are thinking when we say, I feel stressed. But there's also this whole category of physiological stressors. And these are just as important. They're all stress to the body. And so sometimes we are more aware of mental emotional stress, so we work to reduce that, which is wonderful and necessary. But we overlook the fact that we have autoimmunity, or we have excess body weight that's inflammatory. We have blood sugar imbalances. We have food sensitivities, and we're still eating that stuff. We have any number of things in our body that is, you know, some degree of imbalance where the body's having to work harder. That causes stress on the body. And so even if you feel like, I'm deep breathing, I'm going to bed on time, I'm doing all these stress managing things, you know, if there are things that you're overlooking in your physical health, that may be one of your major sources of stress.
Do you find that, if somebody's like, I feel chill, I feel like I manage stress well, but I'm still dealing with maybe that weight in the midsection or maybe some other health things, do you have certain blood work or things that you really hone in on or recommend people to discuss with their doctor or get a practitioner like yourself or somebody that understands that connection? And and what are those things that you would look at?
Basic blood work is helpful, and then there's like additional testing, like, you know, maybe more like functional medicine testing, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Basic blood work, like basic CBC,
CNP,
maybe a CRP, maybe some fasting insulin, hemoglobin A1C. These are very, very, very common. Any physician is aware of them, should be able to run them for you, and very likely get insurance coverage for them. So those are definitely worth checking out. On basic blood panels, there are several markers that can give at least hints about the state of inflammation in the body. It's non-specific, meaning it tells you, you have some inflammation. It doesn't tell you, you know, that ankle injury is your problem or it's a gut infection that's your problem.
No.
But it may alert you to like, yes, there is some degree of inflammation. Now let me zoom in closer and figure out where and what. So those are great basic numbers to pull. Then when you get into, maybe I know there's general inflammation, maybe I can see it's my blood sugar. Mm-hmm. And maybe also something about my white blood cells is indicating there's something going on, maybe a simmering infection or something, yeah. an inflammatory dynamic. Then maybe I think, okay, I know I can hit the blood sugar head on. I tackle that. What do I do to figure out the white cell thing? You know, right. maybe then you go on this seek and find mission. Maybe mm-hmm. I do a comprehensive stool test and I see what else yeah. going on in the gut. Could it be there?
Yeah.
Maybe I do some other testing to find out. And that's where I think probably more like functional medicine testing could come in really handy.
Yeah.
You know, when you're really zooming in and trying to figure out not just the problems over here, but like right. exactly what is it so mm-hmm. that we know how to best address it and expedite results.
Right. Yeah, no, I think that's good. Because I think, you know, as the listeners are learning, I think they need strategies. They need things that they can, tangible things that they can say, okay, I am struggling with these things and why? I don't feel like the mental and emotional is driving it. So there has to be something. So I think those, like you're saying, those simple things, start with the basics and see if you can move through and figure it out just off of that. And then if you really can't determine it, then you move to some of those bigger tests that give more in-depth information that can really help.
Yeah, and you know, and that's definitely what I would guide my own clients to do is like, hey, give me all the basic labs you have. Like,
yep.
let's start with what you have and yep. let's decide whether we need more and specifically what we need rather than, you know, I think unfortunately, we won't get off on the topic of functional medicine and holistic care, but,
yeah.
you know, one of the bad, you know, the reasons they get a bad rap is because, you know, you can walk into one of those offices day one if you,
yes.
you know, depending on who it is, and they could be like,
thousands.
Give me all your money.
Yes.
We're going to get a bunch of expensive tests. This will be fun, you know?
Yeah.
And you're like, wait, I
yes.
don't want to take out a loan just to,
right.
like, figure out what's going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, that's something that's really important to me with clients is, like, let's start at point A
yep.
and then go stepwise to the next logical step that will get you the biggest return on investment rather than
exactly.
doing everything day one, getting you overwhelmed, bankrupt. We really need to go in logical order. But the other thing I do find, unfortunately, with most clients who send me basic lab work to review is that many of them have, you know, there's even sometimes a sweet little note at the top, summary note from their physician or whatever, like, looks great.
Yes.
I'm like, you know, okay, it doesn't look terrible. Let's talk about, you know, optimal ranges versus
yep.
reference ranges, you know.
Yes.
So I think you really also need someone to interpret your lab work for you in a way that they can read between the lines and they can tell you this may be normal for population average, but if you want to be healthy, we really need you in this tighter range.
Yep.
You know, or we really need you at this end versus that end. Whereas most medical professionals are too busy or they've not,
yep.
you know, maybe been trained about the intricacies of lab work and what it really means physiologically.
Yep.
They're really just looking for H's and L's running down the paper. And if nothing yep. is flagged red because it's high or
you're
low,
good.
They're like, looks good. Come back in a year.
Yeah.
So I really find that, yes, you need basic lab work, but it really, really is hard to find someone who will comb through it and
yeah.
put the puzzle pieces together to kind of tell the story of
yeah.
what can be going on in your body.
I would say that, and I say this frequently on my podcast to the patients because, you know, I'm trying to bring more functional medicine approaches to weight loss surgery. That, you know, they've sealed the deal. They have done this surgery and they are committed. So I think there are so many good strategies from functional medicine. And that is one piece I love about it is most functional medicine practitioners, they look at the reference ranges and they look at your values, but they listen to you. And just because that level may not fit in that box for even a functional reference range or, you know, conventional reference ranges, they're still going to listen to you and treat based off of that.
Right. Yes. Treat the person, not the labs, for sure. Yeah. Best case scenario, labs should be used to confirm your suspicions
yeah.
or to redirect you. You
yeah.
know, they shouldn't be used alone.
Alone. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. So say someone is, you know, they are stressed, you know, physically, mentally, the whole thing. They feel anxious, they feel nervous, they feel everything, and they're struggling. And they know that this is impacting because they see the things happening. They see the weight gain, they see the health problems beginning. What are some just simple basic things that you would tell your patients, hey, let's start with this basic few things and then we'll move past that later?
Yeah. So I think the foundations that everybody who has any degree of stress benefits from are number one, sleep. Number one, like maybe number one and two. Which is tricky because, hey, if you're stressed, especially mentally or you're physically wound up, it's hard to sleep. So it can be a bit of a catch-22, but really, most of America is chronically undersleeping.
Yes.
And we need enough sleep and we need good sleep.
Yeah.
So I really find that having people get a minimum of 7 hours. I mean, much better would be a minimum of 8 hours of good sleep, uninterrupted. Maybe you wake up once to go to the bathroom, but uninterrupted, good, solid sleep at night is a big feat. But that has to be tackled. And, you know, even if we can't fix it entirely right away, we have to be steadily working to improve that, both with like deeper root cause long-term issues to improve it. Maybe a few Band-Aids, you know, try this supplement, do this little thing.
Right.
We have to get sleep in order. So we have good data to say that if you're sleeping consistently less than 7 hours a night, multiple chronic disease risks go up. Your risk of all-cause mortality goes up. And that's most of America, I would guess. Based on the clients, like people I'm seeing are getting more than 7 hours almost every night. If you bump down to below six, we have actual anatomical changes in your brain. Your brain structure changes as well as your brain function. So it's a big, big deal. Sleep is a huge healer in the body. Yep. Much, much of our rest and repair and self-healing goes on while we are asleep and while we are asleep deeply. Mm-hmm. So that is priority number one, full frontal attack, get sleep in order. Yeah. Number two is balance your blood sugar. That's really important. So we know that stress hormones kind of track along with blood sugar. And so either one, when it goes too high or too low, can kind of kick the other one out of balance, as far as cortisol goes anyway. So a lot of times I'll have people start with just anchoring protein even at each meal, you know, and starting by eating pretty quickly when they get up in the morning, depending on where they are. People who are really, really deep in a ditch and their stress axis is seriously disrupted, we start, it's almost like a child, you know, we start in the morning, we're like, here's a little something to eat, you know, right when they get up, a little protein with some other things. And then every few hours, we have a little something to eat with an anchoring protein, because in those early stages, we really need to kind of coach the cortisol and the blood sugar along with us. And then over time, as we stabilize things, we'll space those out more. We may try to wait longer in the morning to eat some of those things. But balancing the blood sugar is really, really key for stress. You know, the other thing is just eat whole foods. A lot of us, you know, get into the habit for various reasons of going from junk food to junk food or from stimulant to stimulant. You know, we do the coffee in the morning and the wine at night and the chocolate all day in between. It's just really hard for our body to, A, get the nutrition it needs, but those things really do set off a cascade of stress hormones, of blood sugar imbalances, of neurotransmitter imbalances. So it's really kind of stirring up the hornet's nest, and then we want to just like give it a little pat on the back and everything's going to be okay. Like, you really do have to straighten out the food, and it does not in any way need to be like neurotically perfect eating at all. We're just talking about like a variety of color groups from plants throughout the day, protein every time you eat. You know, mostly eat foods that were whole, you know, before you cook them. You know, really minimizing sugar and processed snacky things. Keeping them to a minimum, even if you eat them every day, keeping them to a minimum, you know?
Exactly.
And most people do just fine as long as they get it mostly cleaned up. But I would say those are the biggies as far as initial steps. And then depending on where someone is, I definitely, I'm a pretty big fan of supplements. And so, and part of that's just because the clients I deal with, most of them, you know, we're talking about stress, for instance, most of them are feeling it. I mean, they have symptoms, you know, all symptoms are firing. So we really need to bring in you know, everything we can. And so I will use more supplementation up front.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I tell them it's like calling in the tow. You know, if you're deep in the ditch, you know, I can try to push the car from behind for you, but you know, the truth is we're just never going to get you back on the road
alone,
you know, with kind of the foundations, and we may need some extra support. And then once we get you stabilized, we'll start peeling those things off. So I think a variety of supplements can be extremely helpful too.
Yeah. Do you find that there's any one that you gravitate or your patients do super well with consistently when it comes to calming those stress hormones down?
Yeah, well, I think it's a similar approach to some of these other things. Start with the basics. So if you're not taking an actual good quality multivitamin and a good quality B complex and probably some magnesium glycinate, that's step number one. Get those covered. Get those in every day consistently. And then beyond that, yes, I do sometimes add vitamin C. I will sometimes add an antioxidant blend. And then I sometimes will use adaptogenic herbs. I find them to be really helpful for some people and not real sure for a lot of people. So I'm usually looking for like easy wins. I probably don't use them as much as some people do because I'm like, hey, here's another $40 you could spend. I'm not sure if it will really help or if you'll be able to tell, but give it 3 months, okay? I like them in theory. I like them on paper. I like the data behind them. I love that there are certain people who can tell instantly that they help. But that just doesn't seem to be the majority. So I kind of will offer them as a suggestion, but really I find that it's the sleep, it's the nutrition, it's the basic supplementation. And then if we're getting really targeted, we're actually trying to find, like, if we do testing for cortisol, for instance, for other things, okay, then let's supplement to hit your specific pattern to help it. But I think that really does require testing and knowledge. So picking the right things to match up with a person's imbalance, because if you pick wrong, you can set them back.
And I think maybe explain that I'm in the camp of you like you are with food first, and do your diet and lifestyle stuff first. And then if we can't make headway, then we're going to have to probably add some supplements to make this work. So if you were, you know, and you're trying to avoid adding supplements and you're trying to really just focus on those diet and lifestyles and they, you know, aren't feeling better, I mean, are there things that you try not to add, but then you find that if I just really add, not necessarily a supplement, but then that forces you to say, hey, we just got to do this blood work next. Do you find that that happens frequently? Or do you find that when people really follow, just really focusing to change their diet and lifestyle, that they really can see resolution?
It depends on where they're coming from. I mean, the people who come to me spiraling in a tailspin, and they admit it's been frozen pizza and too much chocolate and wine most nights. You know, and I'm definitely like scrolling on my phone because I can't sleep until 11:30 p.m. and then the kids wake me up twice. I'm like, whoa. We're like total damage control. We're starting with basic changes. I mean, the good news is those folks, a few basic changes turns their world around. I mean, they feel so much better. But if, you know, if it's someone who's like, I'm doing all the basics, like, please save me. I'm doing all the basics. You know, I need more. I will either do a trial of something, you know, maybe adaptogens, maybe glandulars, that kind of thing to support the axis. My preference is to get testing first if they're willing so that we can have some data to go on. If they're not willing, they just need to understand it might take some trial and error. It might take us longer to get to the finish line. I'm kind of open to going either way based on someone's preference. It's a rare exception where I'm like, I have to have this test. You know, I prefer to have testing. But we can try things. It just takes longer and you're making educated guesses. So
and you might be buying extra supplements per se,
for
a few
months,
right?
You know?
Right.
And so that it is kind of a, do you want to pay now or do you want to pay over 3 months? That's basically the choice,
you know?
And if we might strike it lucky and the first thing we get is like your magic bullet.
Yeah.
And obviously, I mean, the more experienced a professional gets, the better you are at educated guessing, you know, definitely, you know, some people come in and it's all about, I can tell, I can just tell the neurotransmitter pattern, like, whoa, we need to really calm you down at night and get you sleeping through the night. Let's try magnesium. L-theanine, GABA, let's line these up and, boom, it works.
Yeah.
But I really think it either takes, an experienced practitioner to recognize probably what's going on and make an educated guess at what supplement or get testing.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah, and I think I would say that is where functional medicine does shine because they ask more of those questions. They look at those things differently, whereas conventional, that is not their wheelhouse. They have never really been educated in how to guide someone through a diet and lifestyle change or add a supplement instead of this prescription. I'm going to give you another prescription for this side effect you're having from the other prescription. So when they could have asked, what's going on? Are you stressed right now?
Right.
So instead of really approaching the real problem, they're just band-aiding it. So.
Yeah, and I try to sympathize. I mean, the model that they're working in doesn't allow the time for that, nor were they usually trained like that. And so it just feels altogether too cumbersome and time-consuming to ask any questions beyond what you really have to know.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why visits with someone like myself or a functional medicine practitioner, they're longer and they're sometimes expensive. You know, there's a lot of time.
Exactly.
It goes into that. And when I develop protocols for people, it's from scratch. It's entirely personalized, you know, But I think, that's what it takes sometimes to get at the root of your issues, not to get at the root of, like, the public health concern where we say, XYZ should fit. It doesn't always fit. Or we need to, like, add practical solutions for how to do it.
Yeah.
How do we do it in your lifestyle?
Yeah.
How do you make healthy food on your budget with your family restrictions?
Exactly.
So, it's tough in the traditional medical world to get this kind of thorough, personalized, root cause
it is.
Care, unfortunately.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the two work together well,
I do.
Completely respect traditional medicine. I started my career there. You know, I'm all about getting medical diagnostics. And, I went to a doctor just recently, a kind of a profession I'd never seen before. Mm-hmm. And I went because I wanted to hear his evaluation. Now, I didn't accept his medicine, but, you know, that's my prerogative. But I totally respected and wanted his evaluation of what was going on. And
exactly.
It was helpful.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes just having that expectation of this is what conventional medicine does.
Yeah.
And this is what holistic care does. And you don't have to pick a camp or make it us versus them. It's really a continuum.
Yeah.
And knowing at what points to leverage which one so that you get the best at whatever point of the spectrum you're on currently.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I think they, like you said, they go well together. There's good and, it's just more tools in the toolbox, really, with having functional medicine opportunities and ideas and strategies. I think those just really, you're just offering more options when maybe you've been to multiple doctors and you really can't figure out the problem and no one knows what to do. They're just kind of like, I don't know. Maybe you do need to think of even just the stress piece and how that is weaving into your issues that you're dealing with.
Yeah, and I find a lot of people who come to me with some sort of stress or inflammatory dynamic, if they've worked through or we've worked through some of those foundations, like, okay, so you got the sleep dialed in, your diet's decent, probably not that.
Yeah.
If we've kind of checked through those first boxes, much of my work is the seek and find, okay, let's scan the horizon. Let's do a stool test. Okay. Because, you have these symptoms that make me wonder what's going on in the gut. Let's start there. Let's fix what we find. Mm-hmm. Then we'll reevaluate. What's your symptom burden now? How much stress and inflammation do you seem to be having? What's the next logical step? Okay, let's do a food sensitivity test or, whatever.
Yep.
And we kind of just methodically go through the very likely players and we fix them as we go.
Yep.
And we kind of lower the burden as we go until they're good.
They feel
and
normal.
That's the work,
Yeah. No, that's good. Tina, thank you so much. This has been an awesome interview, and I really appreciate your time and all your knowledge. And I'd love for you to share with everyone how they can find you and how they can learn how to work with you.
Yeah, so I have a virtual practice called Back to the Book Nutrition. My website is backtothebooknutrition.com. From any page on the website, you can schedule a free 10-minute discovery call. So we can hop on the phone, you can share a little more about your symptoms, what you're struggling with, and I'll tell you if I think I'm a good fit for you and share more about my services. So that's the first step for anybody who's interested, kind of a free, no-commitment call. And I'd love to do that for anyone who's interested. I also hang out on social media, mostly on Instagram. Some of that gets over onto Facebook, but mostly I'm on Instagram, and my handle there is Back to the Book Nutrition.
Awesome. Yay. So that's exciting that people have a way to get in touch with you and learn more even on your website. I know you have other things available that they can just learn from. So I think that's great.
Lots and lots of articles on the site. And some
awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dina. I have enjoyed our talk and I'm excited to share it with everybody, and hopefully we'll have you again sometime. All right. Thank you everyone for tuning in. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and stay tuned for next week. We will be interviewing Dina again, just a little bit more on stress, but more on the sabotaging effects of stress eating. So hopefully you will enjoy that episode as well. So you guys have a great week. Bye-bye.